remember many years ago, there was an advert for Rolo chocolate sweets, and the strapline was, "Do you love anyone enough to give them your last Rolo?" The idea was that the sweets were so good that you would want to keep them all to yourself, and that you would only give that last one to someone very, very special. We all like to think of ourselves as generous people, don't we? And I'm sure in many ways we are. But when we examine our hearts, are we truly generous? Do we give without thinking? Or are there barriers that stop us from being as generous as God would want us to be? And what about God's abundant generosity to us? Do we ever think about that? The passage we're looking at today shows us how the more generous we are, the more glory this brings God, and the more joy we will feel ourselves. But before we delve into the passage, I'm just going to explain a little bit of context. So these verses are in the second letter to the Corinthians that Paul wrote, which is a church that he planted a few years earlier. And he wrote to them to remind them that they'd made a pledge to support the church in Jerusalem. And this church in Jerusalem was struggling financially because they'd had a massive influx of new Christians from other countries. And they were also facing persecution and famine. Whereas the church in Corinth was in a much better place. It was wealthier and it didn't face those same challenges. So in these verses, Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to fulfill that promise they'd made the year before to finish their financial collection for those Christians in Jerusalem. And in doing so, he explains how they should give and what the benefits of giving are. And we're going to explore both of these areas. Now, this may be a familiar passage to you, or at least a familiar verse. How many times over the years have you heard or even said, "God loves a cheerful giver"? But there is so much more to this passage than those five words. As I've read and reread these verses and read various commentaries in preparing this talk, it really struck me as how really challenging but also encouraging this passage is. Paul is wanting the church in Corinth to fulfill their promise to give money to the less well-off church. He reminds them not just of their promise, but why they should give generously and why they shouldn't be afraid to give generously. So he starts by reminding them that when they give generously, they will reap generously. But do you notice he doesn't tell them exactly what to do or how much to give? He wants them to decide that for themselves. He wants them to give from their heart freely and joyfully, not under duress and pressure. Giving joyfully shows that they understand why they can give so generously. And then Paul goes on to explain in the later verses how generous God is. He reminds us that God blesses us abundantly and enriches our lives in every way. And it's through the generosity of God that we can in turn be generous to others, both practical ways, but also spiritually. And giving to meet the needs of the poor, those poorer than ourselves, both in material ways, but also giving generously in sharing the good news to those who don't yet know Jesus. But for me, Paul saves the best till last, as we found in the family slot. There was a bit of a spoiler alert there. I love that last verse. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift," which reminds us just how generous God is. But more on that in a little while. The first theme I want us to explore is the challenge to us in our giving and what happens when we are generous. Our passage starts with the great challenge: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And as David's already said and Anna prayed, this Sunday is our harvest festival. And as we've noticed, this year it's different to normal. And as David mentioned, we normally have lots of things behind us, produce that what we've given to the food bank. This year we've just got Kathy Mills' lovely flowers, but no gifts from the congregation. But that was really, if you think back to last year when we had all that food and produce around the table behind me, that was a really visible example of our generosity of our congregation here, and repeated across the country in churches, a really visible sign of generosity of God's people. And at this time of harvest and agriculture, Paul uses that agriculture as an illustration about reaping and sowing. It would be an idea that the Corinthians would have been familiar with. It's something we understand today as well. You know, if a farmer sows sparingly, he won't get much of a crop. But if he sows generously, he will reap more. You know, if you sow 10 fields, you're going to get much more crop than if you sow just one. You don't need to be a farmer to understand that illustration. So Paul was encouraging the Corinthians to fulfill their promise to help the church in Jerusalem. The money they gave would be a great help to the poor practically in giving them food and shelter. But it's also a great example of Christian love in action, a great witness to those who weren't yet Christians. The more money the Corinthians give, the more help that they would be able to give to those in need. But Paul doesn't want to force the Corinthians to give. He wants them to do it because they want to, not because they have to. It's a conundrum, isn't it? God doesn't order us to give a certain amount, but he provides opportunities for us to give generously. But when we think about that illustration, that those who sow generously will reap generously, we might be thinking, but how does that work? I give my money to help people and they benefit, they reap generously. But what do I get out of it? I have less money. I might be happy that I can help those less well off than me. But that warm, fuzzy feeling doesn't feel like I'm reaping generously. And that in turn can make us feel resentful about giving, which is why we're challenged to give cheerfully and not grumpily under duress. The more we sow, the more we reap, doesn't mean that God will enable us to become super wealthy if we give generously. That's not what Paul is saying. If you think about those American TV evangelists years ago who scammed people out of thousands of dollars by falsely saying, give me all your money for God and he will make you even richer. They used passages like this to lie to people, tricking them into giving thousands of dollars in the false promise that if they did, they would make even more money. But what that highlights to me is that actually if that is our motivation for giving, then it's completely wrong and we'll end up completely lost. Our motivation for giving needs to come from the desire to be obedient to God, to bring him glory, to trust him in all things. When that is our motivation, our giving becomes cheerful. We don't think about what's in it for me, just that I can give and give thanks to God for enabling me to give generously. What Paul is saying is that those who sow generously will also reap generously in terms of bearing fruit for God's kingdom and in giving thanks and praise to God for his abundant generosity to us. We aren't being forced into giving. We have to decide in our hearts what to give. It's between us and God. But whatever we give, we should give it cheerfully. And this isn't just about money. It's about how we can be generous in other ways, with our time, with our gifts and skills. How generous are we in our lives, in how we live and what we say? Are we generous in sharing the good news? God loves the cheerful giver. That is, God approves of a cheerful giver. He wants us to give because we want to, and because such joy-motivated giving to others expresses contentment in God's gracious giving to us. It's a way of showing that we recognise that everything we have comes from God, and we trust him for our needs. It's our motivation for giving that brings God joy, and knowing that should encourage us to give more generously. So, do we give cheerfully or grudgingly? You hear a sermon like this and immediately think, oh, it's another plea for me to give more money. Or do we give cheerfully whatever? Whatever we can give when we examine our hearts. Can be really challenging, can't it? We live in a world where a lot of people will only do something if they get something back in return. I've been asked on more than one occasion if I get paid for being a reader. And people are amazed when I say, no, it's all voluntary, I'm serving God. They can't understand why I would give up weekends to write sermons and Sundays to lead or preach for nothing. And particularly at the moment when we live in such an uncertain world, we want to be sensible with our money. We have bills to pay. But does all this mean that actually we put up barriers to stop us being generous? Do we think, well, I work hard and I'm too tired to get involved with helping at a group or a meeting at church? Or if I give money to others, what will I miss out on buying for myself? What about the future? We don't know what's around the corner. I might need money for all sorts of things that might happen. I want to save for holidays or for my retirement. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul isn't saying that we should just give away all of our money, although God does call some people to do just that. What Paul is encouraging us to do here is to examine our hearts and be generous in our giving, because the harvest we will reap will be incredible. And Paul goes on to explain what will happen in verses 10 and 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. These verses are such an encouragement when we think about what we will reap when we sow generously. It's not just about practical needs that are met, but we will grow spiritually as well. The promise that God will increase the harvest shouldn't be understood just in material terms, but in terms of increasing our righteousness. And Paul references the Old Testament in these verses in his letter. So Isaiah 55 verse 10 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And then Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unploughed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. God's promise is that he will use his people and their resources as instruments of his grace, increasing our righteousness and for the salvation of others. Isn't that incredible? And as I said, this isn't just about giving money. It's much more than that. When we give generously, God returns that tenfold and more. He gives us all we need in every situation and all the time. And the reason he does so is to equip us in every good work. That is showing people what it is to be Christian through helping the poor and needy. But even more importantly, it's about each of us spreading the good news. That is naming Jesus, as we've been talking about this year. Enabling others to understand what it means to be Christian and to choose to follow Jesus for themselves, so that they too can enjoy the harvest we will receive from God in heaven. The more we talk about Jesus, the more we name him in our everyday lives, the more chance people have of becoming Christians. And I know that's a scary thought for people. It is for me. I'm open about my faith. I talk about it a lot with my friends and colleagues at work. But I don't know if anyone's ever become a Christian through speaking to me. I may sow God's word generously, but I think the harvest is poor. But a helpful reminder for me here is again another harvest link, the parable of the sower. We're just called to simply scatter the seed, to name Jesus. God will do the rest. We don't need to worry if the seed falls on stony ground or fertile ground. We simply have to sow generously, and God will do the reaping. So we've had a look at our generosity and the challenge to us. Now let's turn and look at God's generosity and see how that shows us, gives us the reason for why we can be generous to others. As I've already mentioned, that final verse about thanks be to God for his indescribable gift is just fantastic. But when I first read the verse, I thought it was referring to God's generosity in relation to giving us all we need at all times, which is a pretty big gift in itself. But as I was reading round about the passage, I realised that what Paul was referring to as God's indescribable gift is Jesus, that ultimate gift of generosity. God gave us his only son to die on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life. Without God's generosity, there would be no hope. We would be condemned to the death of sinners. So we need to think about that when we give. When we search our hearts, we need to remember the generous gift God has given us through Jesus' death on the cross. Kind of puts it into perspective, doesn't it, when we think about our generosity. It both challenges us to be more generous, knowing that we can never be as generous as God, but also encourages us to be more generous because we have the sure and certain hope of eternal life with God and the knowledge that God will always provide for us. So we can afford to be generous without fear. Just keep that thought in mind as we look at other parts of this passage which remind us about God's abundant generosity. In the middle part of the passage, we're reminded how generous God is to us in our everyday lives. Verse 8, it says that God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. These verses are a real encouragement to us if we think back to those barriers that stop us from being generous. In all things, at all times, having all that you need. We may not become super wealthy in monetary terms when we're generous, but God will provide for our needs. He will supply our daily bread. So we have nothing to fear in being generous. We can give generously because we know that God will provide for our needs and bless us abundantly. And in verses 12 and 13, Paul said that two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the Christians in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God and give him glory. When we think of that, how does it make us feel? Does it make you want to praise God and give thanks for him, his generosity? Do we always recognise God's generosity around us? And when we do, how do we respond? When we're blessed with something, when we're given something, do we say thank you to God, recognising it has come from him? I've got some friends who, they're not poor, but they're not well off. Like many people, there's not a lot left at the end of every month. So if something unplanned happens, it's always a bit of a struggle. And I remember talking to them after their car had had the back window smashed one evening. A few cars down their road had had similar damage. And they were wondering how on earth they were going to pay for it, to have it repaired. Overnight, an envelope was pushed through the letterbox with enough money to pay for the damage. As Christians, their immediate response was to give thanks to God for this anonymous generosity. So when we receive a gift, or when we are in need, and that need is met, We need to remember to give thanks to God for his abundant generosity. God's generosity is incredible. He will meet our everyday needs. He will provide us with everything we need, always. Not just in practical terms, but spiritually as well. And when we know that in our hearts, we know that we can be generous in return, not just with money, but even more importantly, in spreading the good news and in doing good works that enable others to know God. When we know that what we have comes from God, we can freely give to others confidently, no longer afraid of what might happen. We can take down the barriers that stop us being generous. And if we're still not sure, we just need to remember that final verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God was so generous to give us Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. And that should be an encouragement and assurance that we need to live our lives giving to others generously. And we can do that joyfully, giving praise and thanksgiving to God. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks for your abundant generosity. Help us to take down those barriers that stop us being generous to others with our time, our money, and in sharing the good news. We give thanks for your indescribable gift, for Jesus, who generously gave his life for our sins. May our lives reflect your generosity through all we say and do. Help us to be always be cheerful givers, knowing that what we have, all our needs are met by you. And so take away our fear of giving generously and cheerfully. And when we are blessed, when others are generous to us, may we always remember not only to say thank you to the person giving to us, but to thank you for your grace and generosity in always meeting our needs. Amen.